praise the Lord that we're able to meet at least in this way. And it's a great blessing to us all. I was wondering if I could get someone with a nice, clear voice to read a passage of scripture for me this morning. It'll be in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And the reading will be from verse 25 through to verse 35. So we have Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 35.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
Amen. Well, thank you very much. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for our fellowship with you, that we are brought nigh to you by the blood of Christ and have been received into your arms and your heart as your dear children. And we thank you, Father, for the fellowship that we can have one with another this morning as we have fellowship with you. Heavenly Father, we come to your holy word. Grant to us this morning a contrite heart and an indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit, that divine illumination, Father, in order that we might understand this holy word of God. And Father, in understanding this word, may we, with gratitude and praise, live out and carry out the divine instruction to us, to the praise and to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. I'll have to get used to looking into this little machine. Here we have, brethren, a brief account of an early part of our Lord Jesus Christ's life. And in this brief account, we have the introduction and the mention of a man by the name of Simeon. It is this man that I'm going to invite you this morning to consider with me as a subject of our lesson. Basically, we know nothing about him other than that which is recorded for us in the scripture. But we can be pleased to know that this will be sufficient. Some have been unhappy to be content with the word of God's witness about Simeon and have speculated about who he might be. Some of them believe he was the grandson of the great Rabbi Hillel, and hence at the time of our Lord's birth, around that period, he was the high priest of Israel. But this is speculation and is without authority. What we have before us this morning is the short testimony of the word of God that is infallible. It records a record of this man for us, and it records all that God has designed for us to know about him. And what a record we have of him, and what a testimony he has. I want to draw your attention to the words as we read them, and we'll go through this passage of scripture this morning. But I'm going to suppose several things. First, about him, we suppose he's of advanced age. We're told that he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. This suggests to me for a longer period of time. suggested that he would not see death until he had lived to see the Lord's Christ. And then his own words, as though a long life had been at its now come to its end, when he says, "Now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." We're told about him when we read the narrative in verse 25. Behold, the word is, in other words, pay close attention to this. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Here we find this man who has lived such a long life of devotion to God, as we shall presently see, living in the city of Jerusalem. As we read this, we should be mindful that this city is called elsewhere, the city of the great king. And it was this city that the greatest son of King David, a former king of that city, was to come and to be a blessing to the nation of Israel, and not only to the people of Israel, but indeed to the people of the world. We find this man, Simeon, in the very place where he's most likely, and the only place where he's likely to meet the Messiah. Yes, his long life of devotion is to be in this city. This is where he is to spend his life, in that holy place and in the midst of where God's people are. We're told, and are to suppose also, that in the duration of this life, that he was to be, that he was serving the Lord in that temple. I want to point out something. Here we have, very early on in our narrative here, an example that you and I should be following. Where do we spend our time? Do we spend it at the football match or the cricket match or wherever else? Or are we finding ourselves where we're likely to find the Lord Jesus Christ? That is, in the company of his saints, in the New Jerusalem, in that holy city that we heard about earlier this morning, the real bride of Christ, the heavenly Jerusalem. Surely that is where we should be found during this pilgrimage of life, should it not? Well, let us praise God also for something else that came to mind when I thought of this man. Let's praise God for old saints. And let's be encouraged by this. I want to address this mainly to the young folk here. You know, you youngsters, it's a great privilege for you to know these older Christians. It's a great privilege for you to be in fellowship with old Christians. Can I encourage you to seek them out? Can I encourage you to seek their fellowship and to be blessed by their fellowship? To follow their godly example? To follow behind them, even as they're following the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know something? You'll be glad that you do, and there'll be great reward in your life if you do. I want to read verse 25 now. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, this account, of course, is written by Luke, the beloved physician. But we're to understand, of course, that these words are the words of God. Luke is merely the amanuensis. He's the scribe writing these words for our encouragement and instruction. Here we have, then, is heaven's testimony about Simeon, about his faith, and about his life. And I'd like to encourage you this morning, as we read these words, to listen to what God is saying about this man. Here we have heaven's appraisal and heaven's approval of the life of Simeon. Now, before we proceed, let me ask a question. What about your life? What will be said about your life when heaven makes an appraisal of you? What will your testimony be? What will our Lord say on that final day of judgment, when the secrets of men's lives and hearts are revealed, what will heaven's appraisal be of you? Do you know something? It's an inescapable day. As we go through life, let's bear that in mind. That as heaven bore testimony here to Simeon, it will also bear testimony one day to your life. I want to draw your attention to what is said here in verse 25. We learn here, you may underline the word, although I've underlined the whole verse, you may underline the word just. It says he is just. Secondly, we're told that he is devout. He's devout. And thirdly, we have the word waiting. Waiting. I want to draw your attention to these things. This is what heaven says about Simeon, that he was a just man. Now, the underlying Greek here, and I'm not going to go into that, is suggesting that he, well, not suggesting, it's clearly saying that he is a righteous man. That in his actions before God and before men, he is appraised by heaven to be a righteous man. Even as you remember reading the book of Job, God said the same thing about Job, to Satan. Have you noticed my servant Job? Well, let us say, have you noticed this man Simeon? He is spoken of here as being a righteous man. His character, manifest to all around, was that of goodness and uprightness. You know, secondly, you'll see here, refers to him as being devout. You know, the world can have good people to an extent, but being good without being devout is worthless. These two are inseparable. Not only is this man a good man and a righteous man, we see that he is devout. That is, he is a religious man. He is a pious man. He is a man who has showed devotion to God in a religious way throughout all of his life. He is both righteous and he is devoted to God. He's got good religion. Praise the Lord. Further, we notice that he is waiting. This is another thing that is commended for. He is commended for being a man of patience, waiting, but he's waiting for something very important. The most important of all things, he is waiting for the coming of the Lord's Christ. For that which is spoken of here in verse 25 as the consolation of Israel. And later on it says that he would not die till he had seen the Lord's Christ. What is the consolation of Israel? Well, it is none other than the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Lord's Savior, the Savior of the world, who will deliver not only Israel, but deliver mankind from the bondage of sin and from its awful consequences, which is death. I want to read verse 25 again. There's something here that we all notice further about this man. Perhaps just the last bit of the verse. He is said to be waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is, he's waiting for the Lord's Christ. And notice, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, was upon him. And further, it is revealed in verse 26 by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Well, here we have here we have the source of his righteousness. Here we have the source of his devotion. Here we have the power and source of his holy life and his faithful life. What is it? The Holy Spirit was upon him. You know, some people think that the Old Testament saints were not led by the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit did not dwell in them. Well, here it is an out-and-out statement contrary to that. This man was led and inspired by the Holy Spirit in his life, and it was the guidance and leading of this Spirit-filled and Spirit-led life that led him to know the coming of the Lord's Christ and to be patiently waiting for it in a godly and in devoted life. What about you and I as we wait for the Lord? How's our life? Are we living the Spirit-filled life? You know, the Holy Scriptures in the New Testament tells us in many places that we are to be filled with the Spirit of Christ. And dear Saint, if we are not filled with the Spirit of Christ, we will have the exact opposite of life and the exact opposite of testimony that Simeon had. Let me encourage you to be filled with the Spirit, to seek God to be filled with the Spirit. Cast aside every impediment. Cast aside every burden that would direct you away from being filled with the Spirit. And seek God that you may be filled with the Spirit, that you can follow in the footsteps of Simeon and live a life that is devoted, that is holy, and it is patient while you wait for the coming of your Savior. Hence, we see in the life of Simeon that the Spirit-filled life is commended to us all. And just before I return to the narrative, how are we to be filled with the Spirit? Well, you are to seek God to be filled. You're to seek Him in prayer. And you're to seek Him by your actions to be filled with the Spirit. The Lord offers us to drink of the Spirit, but you, by your will and vocation, must come to Him and take it. He will never force it upon you. So make every effort, beloved, to partake of the Holy Spirit-filled life. Study God's Word. Come into fellowship with the Lord in prayer. And be in fellowship with the saints. And then you'll be well and truly on the way, on that holy road of faith, of devotion, and of patience as we wait for the coming of the Lord. There's something about the life of Simeon I want to draw your attention to, and we ask a question. And there's a question that we have to ask of ourselves. What was the chief purpose of this man's life anyway? For what purpose did he exist? Why was he even created, for that matter? And I believe that we have the answer found in verse 26. And here, let me read it to you. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. There you have it. His chief purpose of his existence, why God created him, why he brought him into this world, why he preserved him in this long, good, and holy life, was in order that he should come and meet the Lord's Christ. Now I say that this testimony about this man is vital to you and I also, for that's the chief purpose for why we are created. I think an old confession of faith that I read many years ago, so I think it was the Westminster Confession, and it has a catechism, and it's a question and answer. And the question, and the first question is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer comes, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him everlastingly. It's a thought to embrace, isn't it? And we can see it in this life of Simeon, can we not? That the whole core of his life, the whole reason for his existence, was to glorify God, to enjoy God everlastingly by coming into a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, Simeon was a Christian, as we shall see presently by his testimony. I want to read verse 27 again, and I want to draw your attention to the words that are found there. Look at the early part of the verse. And it says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. This should not go unnoticed, for here we find the testimony of how he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. How he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, he was came there by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And this is speaking a lot to us, isn't it? And this is also telling us that how we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not of our own volition. It's not in our own strength. We didn't think it up. We didn't start to do it. It is all the working of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit of God that led Simeon to the temple. It is the Holy Spirit of God indeed that revealed to Simeon that he was to live to see the Lord's Christ. He was led by the Holy Spirit of God. And I suggest that is how we came to Christ also, is it not? When we look back in hindsight, what did you ever contribute to being a Christian? The scripture says that we were all gone astray, that there was none of us that sought after God. We're completely bankrupt of any devotion to God, being dead in our trespasses and sins. But the scripture says that God quickened us. He enlivened us. He caused us to be born again. He opened and our hearts to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, and he led us, coached us along by his Spirit to come to know Christ. I know that's true of me, and I know it's true of you. And isn't that something that we can praise God for this morning? And isn't it something to know that we have this in common with the man who is called Simeon? Now, I want to draw your attention further. There are two things here. First, God kept his promise to Simeon. He said to Simeon, you're not going to die till you've seen the Lord's Christ. I want to say something, and it's so true. It's true, I believe it with all my heart, and I know that you folk do too, that our God is a God of faithfulness. He's a God who keeps his promises to us. Whenever anything has ever gone wrong in our lives, it's because of our just deserts, our own doing. Every good word that God has promised to us, he has faithfully kept, and he will continue to keep throughout our lives. God will never fail you, beloved. You may be going through trials and tribulations, and indeed we will throughout all of our lives, but God will never fail you. God will never abandon you. He'll be with you. Let me quote a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church. Before he ascended to heaven, he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Praise his name. So in this narrative, let us return to it. We see here how Simeon was led to meet the Lord. And we've now already considered that it's the same way that you and I have come to meet the Lord. And we may further emphasize that there is no other way that any man will ever come to meet the Lord unless he is led by God. We'll pause in our narrative about the life of Simeon just for a moment or two to consider something else that is here. And you will find that I'm leaning over here to find my Bible and my text, and it tells us that Joseph and Mary, the mother of, well, not the mother and the stepfather, as it were, of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought the Lord Jesus Christ to the temple to Simeon. As Simeon is led by the Holy Spirit to the temple, so we see the faithful parents of the Lord Jesus Christ carrying out the commandments of God, bringing the Son to the temple where the Holy Spirit has led Simeon. My, my. Doesn't that tell us a lot? It was a great privilege of Mary and Joseph to bring the Christ child to the temple. And in bringing the Christ child to the temple, they were bringing in order that he would meet with Simeon. They may not have known that, but the Lord God Almighty knew it. He was bringing his servant to the temple to meet the Christ. And the Christ was being led into the temple as a child by his parents. What a privilege they had. And what a privilege it is for you and I to do likewise. Do you know, we have that privilege of being able to bring the Lord Jesus Christ to those whom God is leading to Christ. The Holy Spirit draws people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's our privilege, like it was the privilege of Mary and Joseph, to bring the Christ child to Simeon. And so are we able to do exactly the same thing when we bear testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ and witness to people about him. It's a wonderful privilege when you think about it, to be able to hold forth the word of life and to tell people about the Savior of the world, the one who has been and will be forever a marvelous and wonderful blessing to the fallen race of Adam. It's your privilege. I hope that both you and I avail ourselves of that privilege and do as the parents of our Lord Jesus Christ did and bring him to the people whom he will have us bring him to. And so we see, praise the Lord, how Simeon came to meet the Savior. And we saw the privilege here of those people, Joseph and Mary, who had the privilege of bringing the Savior to Simeon. I want to draw your attention now to something else. Look at what happens here when he comes in, or the Christ child is brought to him. Let's read verse 28. It says, then took he him up into his arms and blessed God and said, Simeon, at the end of this long life of patience, of holiness, of servitude, has finally come to the end of his life and for the chief purpose of his existence. And we find him here, and doesn't it bring a tear to our eyes to think about it? This old man standing in that temple, and here before him is the very Christ of God. And what does he do? He embraces him. He takes him up into his arms, the closest place to his heart. And he blesses God. He blesses God with the joy that would have been in all of his heart. His thanksgiving is the thanksgiving at the end of a long and fruitful life of patience. And he praises God. Kind of brings tears to your eyes, doesn't it? Do you know, though, that heart in Simeon, friends, should be the heart that is in every one of us as believers. Should it not? Should it not? Have we not also by the grace of God been led to salvation? Has the Holy Spirit not led us to the Lord's Christ? And should we not also, with the same joy and the same praise to heaven, embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to hold him to our hearts for the full duration of our lives? I know that we're all nodding our heads and saying amen. Indeed, we should. And by the grace of God, indeed, we shall. I want to now speak a little bit about this man's faith and the confession of his faith. Let's read verse 29. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes had seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Notice the words, now let thy servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What was it that he believed about the Lord Jesus Christ when he held that child in his arms? Well, whatever it was, and I'll tell you what it was in a moment, it caused the fear of death to be cast out of his heart. He had no fear of death whatsoever and was saying, now I'm ready to depart this life in peace, completely comfortable and at perfect harmony with God and with himself. He says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Here he holds in his arms the great deliverer from death and from the fear of death. It says this in Hebrews, doesn't it? Remember that? The Lord Jesus Christ is here spoken of by Simeon as being the one who delivers from death and from the fear of death. He says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Do you know, that's the wonderful testimony also of every one of us as believers. Do we fear death? No. As believers, we should not fear death at all. It is but the putting off of this earthly tabernacle. We should not fear it at all. Because the chief end of our existence is to dwell with God forever and to enjoy his blessed and holy presence for eternity. And in embracing the Lord Jesus Christ, as this man Simeon did, we can be certain, absolutely certain, that death will not have dominion over us or any permanent hold. For he that delivers from death, from sin, and from its power, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been brought into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And he, by the way, now embraces us. I want to deal just for a moment, and then I'll close, with the words that we find his testimony regarding something else. He calls the Lord Jesus Christ and says this. Let me first of all deal with verse 31. We'll read verse 31. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Then he says in verse 21, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. First of all, prepare before the face of all people. This should not go missed. Here, exhibited before us, and in that temple, God was presenting before himself when the Lord Jesus Christ was presented there, but also before Simeon, as the witness of Simeon, that here we have the Lord's Christ, and here we have the only way of salvation, the only way of salvation. And he is exhibited before the face of all people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men, we're told, especially them that believe. And he gave his life for the sins of the world. There is no other way. And indeed, the Savior in his own words said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no such thing as Chrislam or a half-boiled Christianity where you can be a Christian and a Muslim or a Christian and a Buddhist or anything like that. You are wholly Christ's or you're not his. This is something, by the way, we should be strenuously emphasizing today in this day of lukewarmness and of apostasy. Praise God. Christ is the only way. And you'll notice this. He says, he is the light to lighten the Gentiles. Salvation is not exclusively for Israel, says Simeon. It shall be taken to the four corners of the earth. Every dark nook and cranny, every dark place in this planet will be illuminated by the glorious hope that can be found in Jesus Christ. He is a light to the Gentiles. And isn't it fascinating to note that they are mentioned before Israel? Isn't that amazing? A light to lighten the Gentiles. John's Gospel says it. Does it not in chapter 1? Tells us the same thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he lightens every man coming into the world. And in John's Gospel, the chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for the testimony and the faith of Simeon when he directs our attention to the fact that the Lord is the Savior of all men and the only Savior and the one who will illuminate all of mankind. Praise God. But also notice something, and I'll close with these words. It says he is the glory of thy people, Israel. That's what it says, and we are to believe that. But what does it mean? Well, there are only two views, and we're not here this morning to debate these. One view is that all of Israel is all of God's elect. And that is strongly held to by some of Reformed faith, but there are others of the same Reformed faith who point out to us that this may be a reference, with other references, and many of them, of a great and glorious time when we shall see a future redemption of Israel. That the light that lightened the Gentiles will one day come in and lighten the people of Israel, and that they will be restored into fellowship with Jehovah God through the work and redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Israel will be converted again. And by the way, when they are, they will be Christians. What do I think? Well, my heart and my belief is in this, that all of Israel shall be saved, and that we should, therefore, work for, pray for, and expect a time when the Holy Spirit will move through the people of Israel, enlighten their hearts, and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ as he did Simeon, that they too might embrace the Christ and be saved. I believe we should be praying to that end. It was Paul's prayer that Israel shall be saved. It should be ours. I want to close now with the wonderful words that I find in John's Gospel when the Lord Jesus Christ testified before the Pharisee Nicodemus. something that's important to remember in the things that I've said about the redemption of Israel or the testimony of Simeon and all this. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that does not have the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God will abide upon him." When we speak of the nations being enlightened, they will be enlightened to embrace Christ. When we speak of Israel being enlightened and gathered again, they will be enlightened and gathered to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is the only way of salvation. This is the only way that you and I have been saved, and the only way anyone will be saved. So I'll close with this question that I have to ask, and I often do, to you folk, and to my, and I mean this because I know that almost all of you, if not all of you, are Christians, but there may just be one person today listening to my words, and I have to ask the question. It's my privilege to do so. What about you? Have you been led, as Simeon was, to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your testimony the same testimony as Simeon had? If not, do you know, today can be the first day that you can also have the same faith and the same testimony as Simeon. I pray to God that he will open your heart, lead you by the Holy Spirit to do so. Amen. So, brother, I'll close with those words and thank you for your time. And thank you, brethren.